Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I pray the words of my mouth are not only pleasing to you, but help me and all listening to grow closer to you, to love you more, and to love each other more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proof of who we are. Almost a year and a half ago, my husband Mike and I traveled to Mexico for the Christmas holidays. We hadn't been out of the country in several years, and over that time, new rules and regulations had made it necessary to get a passport. I had never had one, and Mike hadn't had one since he was a teenager. If you haven't gone through the process, it can be a little intimidating. Several pages of government forms need to be filled out. You need your birth certificate, proof of marriage, and a guaranteed horrible picture is taken of you. You write a check to your township, you write a check to the government, and wait to receive an official little book that is proof of who you are. Upon our birth, we get a birth certificate. We get an armband with our name on it and our mother's name. And it is our first proof of who we are. At 16 comes the great rite of passage to obtain a driver's license. That little piece of plastic with our name, address, birth date, and special number. Proof that we have been trained and educated to operate a motor vehicle, and proof of who we are. Diplomas, degrees, marriage licenses, those documents as we go through the stages of life showing proof of who we are and in some cases what we have accomplished. Even in death, the last document issued has our name, the date of our passing, to prove who we were. In casual society, as we meet people in social settings, we don't have to prove who we are. We are taken at our word. But imagine the chaos and horror in 2018 if we couldn't prove who we are. As is the tradition, the Sunday after Easter, we hear the story of the risen Jesus appearing to his disciples in the locked room. They are sitting in fear, worried about the Jews, and scared for their lives. My bet is they weren't just afraid. I can easily imagine as they sat together in terrible grief over the death of their Lord, they also sat in shame and guilt. Judas betrayed Jesus, then hanged himself to keep from having to live with what he had done. Peter had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Then the lot of them fled to save themselves. Only John had the guts to stand with the two Marys and witness the crucifixion. Now, Scripture says John believed when he saw the empty tomb, but he must have failed to convince the others. Or did he even speak? The ten huddle in a locked room, and we don't know the whereabouts of Thomas, hoping and probably praying no one bangs on the door asking them to prove who they are. Suddenly, with God's perfect timing, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Can you imagine the enormous relief that came over the disciples who in a moment go from grief and fear for their lives to peace and indescribable joy. Then that breath of God that is the Holy Spirit settles into their hearts and their lives will never be the same. They have fully witnessed their resurrected Lord, experienced peace and joy, and been given a purpose. Eventually, Thomas shows up. Like a movie in my head, I see him come into the room, and the 10 men clamor to be the first to tell him the wonderful news. Peter is probably right out in front, waving his arms and trying to get everybody else to be quiet. They're smiling and laughing, all anxious to be the one to tell this miraculous tale. Then, at the end of their story, Thomas looks them in the face and says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Not being believed. One of the most hurtful feelings we can experience in life. John's gospel doesn't tell us how the disciples reacted, but 10 men of high emotion, basically being called liars by one of their own, couldn't have been an enviable place to be. I picture some yelling, a lot of anger, and maybe even threats being made. Did the disciples grasp the enormity of the task before them? Jesus told them, "I am sending you." He's sending them out into the world to spread the good news, and they can't even convince their own brother, so to speak. A week later, his disciples are in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Poor Thomas, usually called Doubting Thomas. He kind of gets a bad rap for wanting visual proof of the risen Jesus. When the Lord appeared first to the disciples the week prior, he showed them his hands and side right away. So why do we look down on Thomas? We shouldn't. It isn't our job to look down on him. Through my study, more than one theologian tells us that Jesus wasn't hard on Thomas for his doubt. Despite his skepticism, Thomas was still loyal to the believers and to Jesus himself. Although our glimpses of Thomas are brief, his character comes through with consistency. He struggled. But when it was plain to everyone that Jesus' life was in danger, only Thomas put into words what everyone else was thinking and feeling. "Let us also go that we may die with him." John 11, verse 16. You see, Jesus knew his heart. And he showed Thomas what Thomas needed to see when he appeared to him before Thomas even had a chance to ask. Jesus didn't shame him. Every time he appeared, he said, "Peace be with you." Peace in him, love through him, forgiveness That is Jesus. Now, some need doubt before they believe. Some of us on our journey have doubted after we believed. I read, and I don't know the exact number, that a large percentage of agnostics and atheists at one time in their lives believed. If doubt leads to questions, the questions lead to answers. And if the answers are accepted, then doubt has done good work. I repeat, if doubt leads to questions, the questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted, then doubt has done good work. It is when doubt becomes stubbornness, and stubbornness becomes a lifestyle, that doubt harms faith. Or if doubt comes from hurt and anger, then that still small voice is just waiting for you to open your heart and listen. Peace be with you. Jesus will not shame you. In those first days after Easter, when Jesus spoke, he showed who he was. He spoke, he showed, and they reacted. They were filled with joy. But he knew the only way the kingdom of God would grow and the good news of eternal life would spread is by the believers who would not see him. The proof of who he is would be felt by the presence of the Holy Spirit, not a seen Jesus as flesh and blood. The guidance and power of the Holy Spirit would give strength to those who believed, so they could accomplish what couldn't be done by man alone. As I stand here in Heartland, Michigan in the year 2018, I feel grateful for all those who believed without seeing. 2,000 plus years of disciples who gave proof of who they were as followers of Jesus Christ. I am grateful for those in my life who loved me enough to prove who they were in Christ so that I could stand before you today. I am grateful for my Grandma Johnson, who sat in these pews and gave faithful service her whole life. I can see her clearly in my mind's eye as she held my hand and I tried to be still. I am grateful for my parents, who managed to milk a barn full of cows twice a day and every Sunday morning work, shower, dress, and get themselves and two kids to church on time because it was important for them to show who they were. I am grateful that they instilled in me the power of prayer. I am grateful I witnessed their service. I am grateful I witnessed my mother's sustained faith after the death of her husband and son, and the joy when God blessed her with my father, Jim. I am grateful for the proof of who my father-in-law was as a follower of Christ when he lost his ability to remember almost everything except church on Sunday. I am grateful for the man from my church in Florida, who's my age, wheelchair bound, and motors himself to church alone. Struggles to stand and raise his hands and praise as he holds himself up. All these examples, all these people, all in their own way, proving who they are or were as followers of Jesus Christ. No document or card shown as proof that they are blessed and that they are blessed for believing without seeing. Are you satisfied with how you prove who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ? I'm not. I fail every day. I carry the burden that I have never been a good enough disciple to bring a single soul to Jesus. I don't doubt the risen Lord as Thomas did. I doubt my own strength in handling it if, like the disciples, someone like Thomas looks me in the eye and rejects my good news. I can stand here before you and preach to the proverbial choir and feel safety in this space. Every day, like the disciples, I feel peace and joy in my faith. I treasure the comfort in knowing that I have eternal life. But I falter in the ability to witness and give proof of who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. Unlike Thomas, the doubt is me. Is there doubt in you? If you are not satisfied, as I am not satisfied, what will you do? Are you willing in this Eastertide to cast doubt aside and grow? Are you willing to, like Thomas, declare, my Lord and my God? Are you willing to ask questions if you doubt? Are you willing to read the word if you doubt? Are you willing to be in fellowship with stronger believers than you if you doubt? Are you willing to try a Sunday school class or a Bible study? Are you willing to accept rejection if you witness and otherwise have no doubt? Are you willing, if you haven't felt the Holy Spirit, to ask for it and have no doubt? I leave you with this. Peace be with you. Amen.